Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 99. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The second reading is from Luke chapter 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I beg your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for God's people today. It was a really unusual experience for Peter, John, and James. It started simply enough. Jesus took them up onto a mountain to pray, and that wasn't all that unusual. Jesus was known for praying in isolated places and had gone to a mountain to pray before. He had prayed with his disciples before as well. While he was praying, things started to happen. Jesus' face changed. His clothes became a glowing white. In Greek, it says that his clothes were so bright that they flashed like lightning. Maybe these disciples knew their Jewish scriptures well enough to remember that Moses' face had shone when Moses spoke to God. Maybe they remembered how the sky flashed with lightning when Ezekiel saw his vision of God, or when Daniel saw the figure in his vision that was clothed in fine linen and who had a face like lightning. And then they were joined by two figures, Moses and Elijah. I imagine that this looked a little bit like the end of Star Wars, where the deceased Jedi appear to Luke Skywalker. Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus and told him of his departure, of his future death and resurrection at Jerusalem. Peter and the others saw all of this even though they were sleepy. They saw Jesus' glory and the return of the man who received the law from God and the prophet of God. This was a holy moment. And then Moses and Elijah left. Peter asked Jesus if he should build three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter recognized them as three holy figures, heavenly figures, and wanted to create a special home for them here on earth. The word in Greek in the scripture that I read, that read as dwelling, can also mean tabernacle. And the famous tabernacle was the tent that God instructed Moses to construct to hold the Ark of the Covenant, God's home on earth among the Israelites from the time of their wandering in the wilderness. That tabernacle was used until God commanded Solomon to build the temple in Jerusalem to be God's place. Peter wanted to create a single place to commemorate the holy moment for these three great holy men, as if holy things happen in one place. The text says that Peter did not know what he was saying. He reacted reflexively, mirroring what had been done before. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, very much like the way that a cloud covered Mount Sinai when Moses spoke to God. God spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And this is a lot like the words that we heard at Jesus' baptism. God says that Jesus is God's son. And this time we are told to listen to him. In the time of the Old Testament, from Moses until Jesus, there was one place that they might have called the church back then, and that was the tabernacle that was carried around from place to place in Moses' time. In the psalm that I read, it talks about God sitting enthroned on the cherubim, and that's what the top of the ark looks like. If you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, it looks exactly like it's described in the Bible. And there are the two winged cherubim with their wings pointing towards the center. And that's where the priests made their sacrifices to God to fulfill God's covenant with the Israelites. Later, the place of this church settled in the temple in Jerusalem. And the church was in a building, at least a temporary building. God's main way of interacting with God's people was in one place. A day after all of these things happened on the mountain, Jesus and the disciples came down, and a man came to them because his son needed healing, and Jesus healed his son. This man didn't need to go to the temple in Jerusalem. He didn't need to go to the top of the mountain where Moses and Elijah had appeared. He met Jesus where the man was, at the bottom of the mountain. He met Jesus in the world, not inside of a church building. Jesus did most of his work in the world rather than in a building. He did appear in the temple, and he appeared in the synagogue a few times, but most of his work was done outside among the people. He worked with people as he traveled. He worked with people as he preached outdoors, on a hillside or on a lake. He worked with people in their homes. He talked to and ate with and healed and helped people who couldn't come into the temple, those who could not walk, those who were ritually unclean, and those who worked in professions that made them less than acceptable in the temple. Jesus did more of his ministry among those who were on the edges of society than those who were on the inside. He did his work in the world rather than in the building. Here at Watchung Avenue, we do a lot of good work inside of our building. We meet every week to praise God, to hear the scripture read, and to hear a message. We are a community that is learning and growing and building each other up. We do a lot of good for others in this building as well. We serve meals to those who need them. We collect and distribute groceries. We offer space to Head Start and WIC and the Y. And we share our worship space with Cristo Mi Rey. We invite others to learn and grow, as we did with the Love Free or Die movie, with diversity training, and as we will in March with the upcoming Trigger documentary on gun violence. We do a lot of good inside of our building when someone is here. The church is where we are. We also do a lot of good outside of our building. Together, we walked in October to raise money to fight hunger. We have been networking with others on hurricane relief and how we might best participate. Our youth and our adults have gone to Stony Point and other places to do mission work. Cameron has been working outside of our building on hunger and disaster relief. We also do a lot of good outside of our building. The church is where we are. And our lives are God's work as well. Each of us brings our Christian faith with us to home, to work, to volunteer. The way that we live is a reflection of Christ within us. I worked in the corporate world for a while before starting seminary, and many times I found myself asking, is this thing that I'm doing, this decision or this action, a good idea? Is this software that I'm writing to support an advertising campaign helping people to buy things that they want, or is it just finding new ways to take money from people? Is this report that I'm writing being used to support integrity in the business, or is it just being written to make somebody else in the company look bad? There was just no way to act in the world without my faith coloring my thoughts and decisions. Sometimes I was able to push back when my faith told me that an action was not the right thing to do. Sometimes I wasn't able to push back, and then it hurt. So I wonder if you've ever faced that, a situation at work where your values conflicted with what you've been asked to do. And how did you handle it? I brought my faith to work every day, but it's not just me. We create common, everyday miracles of faith when we act with God in mind. When Bob Gellner helps someone plan their financial life, Bob is reflecting his Christian faith. His actions and decisions are colored by his faith, and he brings the church with him to work. When Pat works with residents in senior housing, she brings her faith with her, and the image of God within her shines through in the help that she gives. She brings the church with her as well. When Virginia goes to the senior club, she brings her faith along and brings the church with her in all that she does. When Corey cares for her niece, when Andrew cares for his grandson, they bring their faith into their families, and the church comes with them. When Ryan participates in the Boy Scouts, he brings his faith in the church. When Shelby and Chris create their art and music, they use their God-given talents to create beauty in God's creation. They are inspired in part by their relationship with Christ, and the church comes with them. There are so many other examples in this congregation and everywhere, and if I tried to include them all, we'd be here for a while. What's important is that the church is where we are, in this building or someplace else. So what is common to all of this? Is it the building? No, it's the people. We bring our talents, our time, and our energy to the work that all of us do. We bring the image of God that is within each of us to our service to others, and our faith and our values ride along with us in everything that we do. So is the church a building? The church is people. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them." When we are in the world interacting with others, there are at least two gathered, and wherever we are, Christ is. And we bring our community with us as well. We can draw on the resources of the church, on our fellow churchgoers, in everything that we do to help others. We can talk through issues with our church friends, whether that's a question about what to do at work or where to go to get people the help that they need. And we can always show our faith to others in the hope that our faith may help them and perhaps may become their faith. The church exists where we are doing our common everyday miracles. So I'm going to ask you all a question. This isn't a rhetorical question. I'm actually looking for an answer. Where is the church?
Where we are.
Okay, not bad. It was a little ragged. Let's try one more time. Where is the church?
Where we are.
Okay, and one more time. Where is the church?
Where we are.
And that is a wonderful thing. Amen.